You're listening to a Claims Journal podcast sponsored by Voyance. Today's expert is Graham Noonan. Graham is a digital marketing specialist with Voyance. He's tasked with researching, writing, and distributing educational content that's relevant to contact center leaders. Prior to Voyance, he handled claims for a top five property casualty insurer. He's trained new agents in claims resolution, customer service best practices, and property casualty terminology and regulations. He's managed a team of entry-level claims professionals. He's monitored call quality and provided coaching in effective claims handling. He's boosted the team's performance in critical metrics. Graham holds a bachelor's in business administration from the University of Arizona's Eller College of Management. Graham Noonan, welcome to Claims Journal.
Hi, thank you.
Let me just jump right in. How often do English speakers call into contact center claims departments?
That's a great question to start with. It's not at all unusual. The thing about auto insurance is that in most states it's a legal requirement to drive a vehicle on the road. So the average insurance claims caller is pretty representative of the U.S. population as a whole. The reason that's relevant, in the United States today, nearly 1 in 10 residents speaks English, what we call less than very well. They have some difficulties with the English language.
One in 10, that's a lot of people. What, you've got like 320 million people in the U.S., right? That's a lot of people.
Very significant, yeah, and the trends demographically indicate that over the next 20, 30, 40 years, that percentage is going to increase rather than decrease based on new immigration, where people are coming from, and the way that we're shifting toward a more multicultural society. So it's not expected to change anytime soon. If anything, it's going to increase.
Sure.
So not all of these folks always need an interpreter. Some percentage do speak some English. Could even be enough to get through a simple, you know, straightforward conversation, ask a question, receive an answer, basic customer service stuff. But claims calls don't tend to be simple in that way. They're some of the most complex customer interactions that a contact center handles. So there's concepts involved that are really challenging to understand, even for English speakers, even without a language barrier.
Trying to explain to somebody
what their coverage is, what benefits they might have available to them, getting a detailed accident description. Those things are often kind of fuzzy under the best of circumstances. Figuring out who's responsible for an accident, explaining what the law is in a given state. It's just a very high percentage or potential for misunderstanding, especially with callers who they prefer language other than English. It's not the one they're most familiar with. And so it's really easy to misunderstand, and it's really easy for the agent not to notice that there's been a misunderstanding because they're not getting all of the same communication cues that they're used to with somebody who doesn't speak English as a first language.
Sure. So how do insurance companies, how they typically handle the non-English calls?
I spent a good amount of time as a claims adjuster, and the company I was with was always looking for ways to do this better. I mean, to their credit, there were a number of different strategies that we explored. Sadly, I did have at least one manager who didn't think that this was very important, kind of lobbied not to support these calls. His theory was that they'll call back with somebody who does speak English or have somebody else call in for them, but that wasn't typical. Most of us, we did want to help these folks, take care of them like any other customer, but it was kind of a challenge to know how. We attempted to create a designated team of Spanish-speaking agents for a while. We had a lot of bilingual folks being in the southwestern U.S., so that was something that was available to us. We tried to use that resource to handle incoming calls in Spanish. Someone would call in. It was clear Spanish was their first language. We would transfer them to the Spanish team, and that kind of worked. But there were some problems with it as well. We had bilingual agents, but finding Spanish-speaking supervisors was harder, for one thing. That's a smaller group of people.
Sure.
And the quality assurance piece was a challenge as well. Most of our quality monitors, people who were checking on the call quality, didn't speak Spanish. So much as we wanted to, we couldn't really track the quality of those calls the way that we did English calls. So there were some difficulties there.
Absolutely. I keep thinking about, just when you and I are on this call together and we don't have the nonverbal clues, right? And we're just having a conversation here, then to add on to that, the insurance policy terminology and all that, that's got to be tough. I wonder if I put myself in that position of taking those calls, how do the agents feel, right, when a non-English call comes in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it depends a lot on the agent. Like the supervisor we talked about before, there were some who they were just punching the clock. They didn't actually care too much about helping the customers. They got frustrated very easily with these situations, but
sure,
they got frustrated on most calls. So that wasn't too unusual. Most of us, we really did want to do a good job. We wanted to help out our customers. We wanted to perform well as part of our team, help out the company as well. But it was a complicated process. We were eager to help, but also, aware there's some competing pressures on you there as an insurance agent, as a claims handler. You're encouraged, expected to handle incoming calls as quickly as possible. You have average handle time to worry about. You're expected to explain, really complex concepts surrounding insurance in a way that the customer, who, really doesn't have any good working knowledge of how insurance works, hasn't sat in on the training classes that you have,
sure,
they still have to understand. And in a lot of cases, there was a goal set to resolve a percentage of these claims, of these calls, on the very first call. So that means, in addition to everything else, you have to build rapport with the customer. You have to earn their trust. Otherwise, they're not going to be interested in resolving a claim that quickly. And
that's a lot of pressure if you can't even communicate,
It is, and we realized as agents that, a language barrier was kind of an obstacle to achieving those goals, or at least it could be. And so even though we wanted to help, there is a situation where we kind of came to dread those calls because we didn't feel like we could handle them as well as we could the calls that we received in English. And we had access to a language services provider on the phone interpretation, but it came across as kind of an afterthought. They gave us a number to call, and you'd get an operator, and they'd ask what language, but we really didn't have any particular training in how to handle these calls. I don't think they ran as well as they could have. I know now that there's definitely a better way to do this, but it wasn't something that I was aware of back then, and so.
Well, that actually leads me to my next question here. What resources can contact centers make available to their agents to make these non-English calls more smooth?
Yeah, I've gotten to experience some of that firsthand, just having spent some time here with Voyance and seeing the services that we provide and the way that we're able to set our property and casualty clients up for success, really smooth out these interactions for them. I would say, and because I have the information as much as because I work here, that partnering with a quality language services provider is a key ingredient in terms of empowering agents to handle these calls successfully. It's really a tool in the toolbox and one that they can use to feel much more confident on these calls and maybe get rid of some of that sense of unease when a call like this comes in. There are, there's a number of benefits involved. You get access to client services, and that can help with language identification, which can be a real struggle. Most of us don't speak, a dozen languages or more, and certainly there are thousands of languages out there in the world, so even just identifying the language that the caller is speaking when they call in can be a challenge.
Sure.
A good language services provider can help you with that. Providing easy-to-understand access instructions so that the agent can be comfortable with the process of connecting to an interpreter. It can be difficult if you have to rifle through your desk drawer, if you have to find the 10-digit phone number and punch it all in, if there's an access code, if there's a number of steps involved, all while this person on the other end maybe does or maybe doesn't understand that that's what you're trying to do, that you're trying to get an interpreter, because how do you tell them
right
before you have an interpreter on the line? Making
makes
that
sense.
Service easier to access put it in on a speed dial, making sure that the phone number itself identifies who's calling so they don't have to enter an access code. There's lots of shortcuts there that can be implemented. Things like training videos and resources like that, setting up speed dials, we talked about that, pronunciation guides to give the agent a basic phrase that they can say in common languages that lets the caller know, yes, we're getting an interpreter on the line, we'll be able to help you, but leaves the caller in a position where they're not confused while they wait. All of these are things that they can help to take the hassle out of contacting an interpreter, and that, I think, makes the agents more likely to actually use the resource instead of try to muddle through or, quote-unquote, accidentally disconnect the call or whatever their instinct might be. The easier we can make this for them to use and to access, the better a tool it is.
You bet.
More likely they are to actually use it, and the more the customer experience will probably benefit as a result, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the potential benefits of having a program like you just talked about, what are they?
Sure. The first thing I'd probably point to is customer satisfaction. We talked about the fact that, you know, almost 10% of U.S. residents prefer a language other than English, so that's something that they may be looking for when they call in, and certainly if it's offered to them, if it's made available, it goes a long way toward making them feel cared about, building loyalty, and really being able to offer them the same great claims experience that, you know, property and casualty carriers are committed to offering the rest mm-hmm. of their customers. It's a huge demographic, and it's, like we said, it's growing, so it's really too large to ignore or to handle poorly or to muddle through, even if you wanted to, just
yep.
from a business standpoint. Another factor would be the agent experience, you know, recognizing this is an opportunity to empower them. Most of us, you know, certainly the carrier that I worked for and most of the others that I'm familiar with, part of the mission statement was, you know, it included a version of providing great customer care. And you train the agents on that, you bring them in for orientation, and you drill that into their heads, and then you send them out to the floor. And if you ask them to provide outstanding service but don't give them the tools that they need to be able to do that, including, yeah, quality interpreters for non-English calls, then that might have the effect of undermining the message that, yes, customers are number one. We really do care about our customers. Customer service is the most important thing, but we're not going to actually give you the tools that you need to do the job. Agents are smart, and they figure this out. They want us to practice what we preach in terms of leadership in contact centers, and if we're not making customer service a priority, they may not do that either, and that might carry over not just to their non-English calls, but to the rest of their interactions as well, given enough time.
That makes absolute sense. And then I guess the flip side of that, are there any potential risks? And second part of that, like, do carriers stand to lose anything by not doing this? By not providing these language services?
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. I think we could start with the reverse of everything we just talked about in terms of benefits. Somebody calls in and just service is not available to them because of the language that they speak, then they're not going to feel like their business is important, that they're a priority, because, you know, nobody has done the legwork to be able to communicate that with them in a language that they understand. The agents, they may draw the wrong conclusions about how big a priority customer service really is. And there's a missed opportunity here for competitive differentiation. That's always a struggle in the property and casualty space because so much of the product itself that's offered is mandated by state law. So how much can you really change up the product? There's a desire to change up the messaging, change up the colors, change up the advertising, anything that these carriers can do to distinguish themselves from one another and gain a competitive advantage, they're trying to do, because it's a tough business to do that in. I think being known as a carrier that takes great care of people, even when they don't speak English, is a great competitive differentiator, and it'd be a shame to miss out on that. You know, these communities, they're pretty tight-knit. The word spreads. Oh, I had this policy, and I called up, and, you know, I paid for the coverage, but it was really hard. I couldn't even use it because they didn't offer service in my language. That's a reputational hit that nobody really wants to take, and it's a missed opportunity to kind of stand out in that community.
Sure. They tell people about the experience that they had. It makes
sense.
They
do. Just like all of us, right? They say that we're much more likely to talk to other people about a bad customer interaction that we have than a good one. Unfortunately, it's a quirk of human nature. That's what stands out, and that's what we talk about. On top of that, though, there's a big risk that miscommunication poses in terms of proper claims handling that we wouldn't want to overlook. Decisions about whether coverage is going to be afforded or not, decisions about who's at fault, where the liability lies, and then, of course, the claims payouts that follow that, those depend a lot on customer statements, these customer interactions about what happened in the accident, whether the bill was paid, whether the check was sent. These things are critical factors. So trying to take those statements in English when that's not the customer's first language or using a staff member to interpret who, you know, they don't have training as an interpreter. They might be bilingual, but they don't really know how to do it, could lead to a misunderstanding, and that in turn could lead to a bad decision on coverage or on liability.
Absolutely. So we've talked about benefits. We've talked about risks. I know that these contact center metrics are really important things. What might the quality of multilingual support, how would that help improve? What do you call them? You call them scorecards?
Sure. Different organizations will have different names, but most anybody who's managing a contact center full of agents will have a set of numbers, a set of metrics that they're expected to hit. And, you know, from a management perspective, performance is everything. We tend to kind of live and die by those numbers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So multilingual support kind of has a role to play there. We're talking about, you know, primarily phone interpretation on this call, but translation of, you know, relevant pages on the website into commonly requested languages can be another good option. And some of the benefits there, you could be looking at a potential decrease in average handle time. Non-English calls are always going to take longer because, you know, there's the interpretation that has to take place, or there's the repetition that takes place if you don't use an interpreter. But using, you know, a trained professional certified interpreter, you might be able to cut down on how much longer these calls are going to take. You're going to be able to clearly and accurately convey the message that you want to the caller, ensure that the caller really understands the answer to the question prior to hanging up.
Sure.
The last thing you want is another one of these calls, because that starts the average handle time clock all over again, puts another call that's longer than average because it's not in English on the books. Resolving these in one call where possible is a big factor in reducing average handle time. Customer satisfaction, usually a metric for contact centers. We've done some work with ICMI. They've surveyed hundreds of contact center leaders, and some of the data that they came across was really interesting. They found that most contact center leaders who had tried language services, tried implementing, you know, professional interpretation, they agreed that doing that improved the overall customer experience.
Makes sense.
They even reported that, you know, about half of non-English speaking callers called in expecting to be able to get service in their native language. We know about, you know, customer expectations and what happens when those aren't met. Tends to be a bad thing. We were just talking about how people will go out and they'll talk about their negative experiences. And then for the 50% who didn't expect it, well, what a nice surprise. What a good opportunity to go beyond what they thought they were going to get when they call in. So either way, customer satisfaction is a metric that will probably benefit from quality language services.
And it makes sense that if you delight your customers, it's going to affect your bottom line. It just makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
Graham, you know your stuff. I've really enjoyed talking with you today. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the audience in closing?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kind of moving from the property and casualty world to working in language services, I just get the sense that in the contact center space, you know, multilingual support, phone interpretation, it's not at the top of the list for most contact center leaders. They have a lot going on. They're busy. Their hair's on fire. But I would submit that it should be. It's an opportunity, and it's really low hanging fruit. Especially with a carrier like Voyance, where we have a dedicated implementation team, we take care of most of the work of you know, putting our service in place for you. Adding the support is really easy, and like we've talked about, it really can have a demonstrable impact on customers, agents, and the metrics that every contact center leader has to answer for. It's not something that you thought about. I definitely encourage you to take a look at what we have available.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, if listeners would like more information about Voyance, what should they do, Graham?
Yeah, the best way to do that would just be to visit our website. It's real simple. It's going to be voyance.com. Voyance is VOIANCE.com. And you'll find lots of great resources on phone and video interpretation, what we can do in the contact center space. There's an ebook, a business case for language services and contact centers, I'd encourage you to check out and take a look, see what we can do for you.
Very good, Graham. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.